Good evening, everyone. The Bible reading tonight comes from Matthew chapter 22, and it's verses 1 to 14. Jesus spoke to them again in parables, saying, "The kingdom of heaven is like a king who prepared a wedding banquet for his son. He sent his servants to those who had been invited to the banquet to tell them to come, but they refused to come. Then he sent some more servants and said, 'Tell those who have been invited that I have prepared my dinner. My oxen and fattened cattle have been slaughtered and everything is ready. Come to the wedding banquet.' But they paid no attention and went off, one to his field, another to his business. The rest seized his servants, ill-treated them and killed them. The king was enraged. He sent his army and destroyed those murderers and burned their city. Then he said to his servants, 'The wedding banquet is ready, but those I invited did not deserve to come. So go to the street corners and invite to the banquet anyone you find.' So the servants went out into the streets and gathered all the people they could find, the bad as well as the good. And the wedding hall was filled with guests. But when the king came in to see the guests, he noticed a man there who was not wearing wedding clothes. He asked, 'How did you get in here without wedding clothes, friend?' The man was speechless. Then the king told the attendants, 'Tie him hand and foot and throw him outside into the darkness, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. For many are invited, but few are chosen.'"
Good evening, church. How you going? Wow, just overwhelming enthusiasm. That's fantastic. Well, it is great to be at church. I'm excited to be at church. My name's Matt. I'm one of the associate pastors here, if we've not met. And as Margie said, we are wrapping up our time in this series, The Kingdom of Heaven is Like, looking at the parables that we find in the Gospel of Matthew and how Jesus uses these stories, these analogies, these illustrations to help us explore and discover exactly what the kingdom of heaven is like. And today we are in Matthew chapter 22, looking at the parable of the wedding banquet. But before we get into the scripture, I want you to consider the last time you went to a party or an event or a gathering or a soiree, if you're fancy. And think about the guest list. Think about the different types of guests who come to those kinds of events. Because the reality is, whether you have hosted or you've just attended, there are different types of guests at every party, aren't there? There are the uncommitted guests. You know, those who never RSVP, no matter how many times you follow them up. The people who are constantly waiting to see if they might get a better offer. The people who are waiting to see what the vibe will be, who else is coming. In modern day settings, we call these people millennials. I love you guys, no shade, but the truth is the truth. And, you know, I'm a millennial myself. These are the non-committed guests. And then we have the disengaged guests. The person who attends because the fear of missing out is real, but really when they get there, they have absolutely no intention in engaging. They come in, they find that spot in the corner and they plant themselves there for the entirety of the night. If it is a dress-up party, you best believe they are not dressing up. If it is a potluck, they won't even bring a salad. They won't talk to anyone. They don't want to participate. They just want to be there and be by themselves. And then there is the third type of guest, my favorite type of guest, the enthusiastic guest, the one who the second the Facebook invite goes out, bing, you get the notification saying, yes, I'm going to be there. The guest who, when there is a 6 p.m. start, they are there at 6 p.m. sharp, maybe even 15 minutes earlier. They will dress up, they will bring food, and they will offer to set up help in any way, shape, or form. When they get there, they talk to every single group of people around the party. And when the dance floor opens up, you best believe that they are dropping it hard. They are the enthusiastic guests. And the reason why we talk about this is because the parable of the wedding banquet asks a really significant question for us, which is, what type of guest are we? This parable actually, from the very get-go, is uniquely different to so many of the other parables that we've already looked at. Each parable previously has kind of tied in the social, cultural, economical, kind of everyday tasks that people in society, people in community participated in, or at least understood. These were the things that were just mundane, everyday happenings, and Jesus would use them to invite people in so that they could step into the story, step into the parable, and gain a little bit of perspective. But the parable of the wedding banquet is actually very different. Now, at face value, the imagery of a banquet could tell us heaps about the kingdom of heaven. It could tell us about the hospitality of the king. It could tell us about his provision for all people, how he nourishes us and provides everything that we need on his table. It could tell us about a sense of connection and unity and community for all those who take their seats. And yet the imagery of a banquet is not just a mundane activity that people would have engaged in. The imagery of the banquet actually has deep roots in both Old and New Testament scripture. And for the people who were hearing this parable, the religious leaders who Jesus was speaking to, they would have understood that when Jesus started talking about a banquet, the banquet of a king, that there was weight to that image. There was significance to this story. In the Old Testament, the prophets would speak of a banquet and it had an eschatological hope attached to it. It spoke about the way things would come to fruition, the way things would come to an end, the way that God's plans and purposes would finally tie together and come to completion. In Isaiah 25, it says, "The Lord of hosts will prepare a lavish banquet for all people on this mountain, a banquet of aged wine, choice pieces of marrow." There was a promise attached to this imagery of a banquet. There was a hope for what was to come, for what God was doing, and people understood that. This imagery wasn't just about everyday happenings, it was about spiritual purpose and spiritual hope. And Jesus doesn't just leave it there. He speaks about a king who prepares a banquet for his son. And we know that this kind of foreshadows a banquet that the Son of God will have himself, won't he? The night before he dies, as he gathers his disciples together, takes the bread and the wine, symbols of the sacrifice, of the price that needs to be paid in order that we might take a seat at God's table. And even Revelations, as it talks about the end times, it talks about a banquet. It says, "Behold," in chapter 3, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into him and will dine with him and him with me." This imagery of a banquet had significance to it. It had weight. And so therefore, when Jesus says the kingdom of heaven is like a king who throws a banquet, the question for us is not, what is the kingdom of heaven like? Because Jesus makes it very clear. He ties it to both Old and New Testament prophecy and scripture. The question for this parable, for us to consider, the invitation for the heart movement, is what kind of guest are we going to be when the Lord invites us to his table? And Jesus unpacks that for us. He goes through and identifies a number of different guests and how they respond to the invitation of the king. So first up, we have the guests who reject the invitation. These people would have been people in the know. They were the first to receive an invitation from the king. They would have had influence and status and sway. They would have been people with political, social, economical clout and authority. They would have been the very people who we would have expected to get that first-hand invitation. And more than that, they would have been the people who we would expect to be able to identify the significance of that invitation, that it had come from the king, that it was to honor the son of the king who would eventually become king. And yet what we see is that they reject the invitation. First, with a general invite, they just kind of decide not to go. And then the king comes back and kind of talks about all the ways in which he has prepared the banquet, the food that is ready, the effort that has been put in, and yet they pay no attention. They go about their business and working their fields until finally they respond to the invitation with violence. And I think what this is speaking to is just the harshness in which these kinds of guests can reject the invitation of the king, reject the invitation of God. And it would be really easy for us to assume that this kind of guest, the guest who rejects, the guest who turns their face away from the invitation of the king, are the people in our world who decide that faith just isn't for them. The people who have maybe heard about church, heard about Christianity, heard about Jesus, and made a definitive decision to never participate, to never engage, to never explore it. And I actually think that that's a real misreading. Because what we need to remember is, who is Jesus speaking to? For the first time, as Jesus has used parables, this is the first time that he's actually responding to the religious leaders. Every other time, it has been his disciples or the crowd. And the reason that he's using parables here with the religious leaders is because they have questioned his authority. And the religious leaders, they weren't people who had turned their back on faith. They were people of faith. They were the very people who you would expect to be invited into the king's banquet. They were the people with social, political, economical, and spiritual authority and influence. They had status, they had power, and they had sway. They were the very people who we would expect to not just receive an invitation, but know what that invitation meant and to attend. And yet what we see time and time and time again in the New Testament is the religious leaders rejecting what Jesus taught, what Jesus had brought into our world. When Jesus arrived, he said, "The kingdom of heaven is here," and preached the good news, new news, that in many ways forced the religious leaders to consider that they may not have the control and authority and power that they assumed they did. And in order for them to step into what Jesus was calling all people into, it meant surrendering that control. It meant giving up that authority, that status, and that sway. And they struggled to do that. These people of faith held too much onto what they could control, so much so that it meant that they were deaf to the invitation when the Son of God was right before them. And if we're being honest with ourselves, don't we too sometimes run the risk of being the guest who rejects? Don't we too at times hold on to things in our life with such a clenched fist because the sense of control makes us feel like we know what we're doing? It gives us a sense of authority and power and sway in our life. The invitation of God is all around us, and yet sometimes we can continue to live as if that was not the case. We can put off the call of God, make light of it, work the fields, go about our business, and even at times mistreat those who persist in reminding us about the invitation. Too often we can allow our own desire for control in our lives to make us deaf to the invitation of the king. We assume, like the religious leaders, that we know enough, control enough, understand enough to earn us a seat at the table. And that kind of mentality can lead us down a slippery slope of completely missing the invitation of the king when it is right before us. But that's not the only guest who struggles to engage in the king's banquet. At the other end of the parable, we have this unprepared guest, this man who was not dressed the way he was expected to. And I don't know about you, but the first time I read it, I think that the response is kind of harsh. Like the invitation has just gone out to all kinds of people. Surely you should expect that not everyone can fork out for some good wedding like digs. And yet the king comes face to face with him, says, tie him up hand and foot, throw him in the darkness where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Rough. And the reason for that is because this is not about judgment for not dressing the right way. You see, this imagery of clothes had real significance and was used a number of times throughout New Testament. And it was there to reflect to have an external reflection of the internal transformation that came from following Jesus. And so what this is speaking to this unprepared guest is that he was not able to demonstrate an outward change of an internal transformation. And I think it's really important that we acknowledge the fact that being unprepared is not the same as being unsure or uncertain. You can be someone who has questions. You can be someone who has doubts. You can be someone who is curious about faith, uncertain about faith, trying to figure out faith, just dipping your toe into faith, and that is okay. There is a difference between being uncertain and being unprepared, and it is a desire of the heart. When we are uncertain about the things of faith, we are still open to the experience of it. We are still leaning into it with a desire to learn, to explore, to discover, to have the revelation of God made real for us. But that was not this man's motivation. He was unprepared because he was unwilling to change. And what Jesus is saying is when a person receives unmerited grace but does not respond with humility, or compassion, or kindness, or gratitude, then they will be judged the same as the person who rejects the invitation entirely. Because this man was not just underdressed, but he was speechless. He couldn't give testimony. He couldn't testify to how this experience had changed him, how the invitation had transformed his life. Because he wasn't open to that change. It reminded me of a time I was in my early 20s and I had a bit of a crisis because I didn't have a hobby and people kept asking me if I had a hobby and I felt pressure to have a hobby. And we've talked about it many of times, sport is not my thing. So I had to find something else. So I decided that I was gonna learn the guitar. The morning congregation laughed, and that is the appropriate response. But I bought a guitar, I paid for a term's worth of lessons, and I would sporadically attend those lessons. I would never practice. And so, surprise, surprise, by the end of that term, I could pluck Twinkle, Twinkle, Little Star sometimes, right? I wanted to be able to play the guitar, but I wasn't willing to put in the work. I wasn't willing to be changed. I wasn't willing to grow. I wasn't willing to experience new lessons, new things. And so I was left, to push the analogy, unprepared for a recital. It would have been terrible. We can sometimes close ourselves off to the change that faith makes available to us. Things like apathy and complacency and comfort can lead us to become an unprepared guest, someone whose external reflection does not demonstrate an internal change. Where that disengaged guest who the FOMO is real, so we show up, but we're actually not open to the experience. We're not open to the growth. We're not open to the new things. And if we want to be people who experience the invitation of God, if we want to be prepared guests, then we need to be open to the change that sitting at the Lord's table makes available to us. Which brings me to the third guest. The third type of guest that we find in this parable, and it's the guests who attend. And what I love about this parable is that this long-awaited messianic banquet, this party that has been prophesied about, promised about, foretold about, that when Jesus actually tells us what it looks like, it looks more like life on the streets than it does some elitist dinner party. It is chaotic, it is noisy, and it is diverse. It is made up of people with different experiences, people who are on different journeys, who have different perspectives, who have come with different motivations for different reasons. All the people who attended this banquet, this king's banquet in the parable, they would have come for a variety of reasons. Some of them would have come because they just hadn't eaten that day and there was a free dinner on. Some of them would have been curious about the palace and this king who reigns. Others might have gone because they wanted to be like the people who were first invited, people who had influence and status. And others would have come because when the king calls, you answer. And isn't church meant to be the exact same thing? This noisy, chaotic, diverse group of people who come for all various reasons, with all various motivations. And some come to obey the Lord, and others come to obey their parents. Some come because of unshakable guilt that they hold. Others come to find a future husband or wife. Some come to keep the peace in a marriage. And some come to grieve. The reality is, how you arrive does not matter. It's what we do once we take our seat that makes all the difference. These people in Jesus' parable would not have known what to expect. They would have never attended such a stately event before. It was completely unknown, completely other, completely new. And yet they all showed up ready for that experience, ready to learn, ready to grow, ready to be changed by it. The scripture talks about the state of our hearts being either soft or hard. And to have a soft heart is to be open to the will of God. These guests have a soft heart because they are open to what sitting at the table of the Lord makes available to them. They are ready for the journey of faith. We need to acknowledge that the invitation of God is this, holds this inclusive nature. That is his kingdom. And it is made of all kinds of people. Walt Whitman wrote, "We are large, we contain multitudes." That is the kingdom of heaven. And as we come from all our walks of life, from all our experiences, from all our pain and our hurt and our joy and our victory, when we take a seat at the Lord's table, we all open ourselves up to be transformed by the one true King. Because God invites us, all of us, to feast at his table. Everyone is worthy of that invitation. And the wedding invitations have gone out. And the question is not whether or not you can manage to fit this party into your schedule. This is the kind of invitation that changes your schedule. It changes your life. And there are only two ways in which you can miss out on this opportunity. Either you hold onto a sense of control so tightly that you reject the invitation of God, or you cling to comfort so much that you are unprepared to receive the invitation of God. But we want to be the people who attend. We want to be the people who take our seat at the Lord's table. And that might mean not knowing what is ahead. That might mean not knowing what to expect. That might mean not knowing the change, the transformation, the new that we might experience. All we need to know is that it is the King who calls. When the King calls, we answer. Amen.